welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Let's jump right into, I believe it's probably session 4 or 5 in God's Determination. And we want to jump right back in. But before we do, we've got to just give you a couple of thoughts and then give you this wonderful scripture that I trust by now you've memorized as I have, because it's so powerful. It is an invitation from Jesus Christ himself to have a relationship with our Father God. Well, number one, the reason why we do these videos is so that you can begin to sense the tangibility of God in your life. Simply put, God wants to influence every single thing you do, which means you should see the tangible results of God in your life. You should be hearing him. You should be seeing him. You should be feeling his presence and recognizing him on a regular basis every single day. Not when you get to a building called a church at 10 o'clock in the morning. You can experience God 6 days a week before you go to the seventh day where you go to church. Number two, the realness of God will make faith become a normal response where you get answers. And number three, you'll have testimonies to share. Won't that be nice? Well, the invitation comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, that says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen." Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. If you'll keep company with me, you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, folks, you need to digest that particular prayer here. Maybe what we'll do is in a couple of videos here, when we're done with God's Determination, we'll just break down that prayer once again so that you can see the elements of that prayer that speak so loudly of the Lord's love for you, the finished work of Christ that makes it possible for you to spend time in the very presence of God and literally get to know him like Jesus knew the Father. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Jumping right back in, I want to go to Jeremiah and chapter 33, because we're talking about God's determination. And we've been talking over there in Hebrews chapter 6, 13 to 20, that talks all about how God came to Abraham on behalf of cutting a covenant with him, but he couldn't cut the covenant with Abraham. He had to look for someone that was greater, and because there was no one greater, he cut the covenant with himself. In other words, the genius in God cutting the covenant with himself, any covenant that exists in the scripture is God cutting the covenant with himself. Listen, if God has to cut the covenant with us and we have a bad day and we miss it and we fail, the covenant is off and it's over. But if God cuts the covenant with himself and he cannot fail, God the Father and Jesus making a covenant on behalf of you and me. And that's what we just experienced in some of the joyous memories during the Easter season as people were magnifying the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me share this with you. You don't have to wait till next Easter to be able to exalt the Lord for his death, burial, and resurrection. Why don't you just do that every day and just live so aware of the fact that he's alive and he's alive in you that you begin to sense how real he is. But folks, this goes right back to the covenant. God cut the covenant with Jesus on the cross so that we couldn't mess it up. It was a perfect covenant in every way. It was so perfect that the just God and judge of the earth could bring Jesus out of the grave in 3 days after all of our sin was remitted and we were completely guiltless, hallelujah, and free. Amen. From any condemnation, he came out of the grave, and the fact that he came out of the grave shows you that it worked. Now, anyone that receives him, to them he gives power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you believed on his name? That means you've received of that gift. How? Well, the gift isn't something that you earn. It's something Jesus earned on your behalf. When you accept it, embrace it, it becomes yours. And the reason why it can't fail is because God cut the covenant with himself. Folks, this is genius, okay? This is awesome. So as we go further, I want to show you about covenant and what God thinks. Jeremiah 33, 20 to 22 in the King James, this is cool. It says, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered or the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. Look at what God just said. He said, concerning what I've spoken to David and what is actually transpiring and taking place, it is tantamount to saying, if you can stop the sun from coming up and if you can stop the moon and its orbit, then I guess you can probably stop what I've spoken to David. But if you can't stop them, you can't stop my covenant with David. I have a covenant with the moon and with the sun, and it will come up in the morning and it will go down in the night, and the moon will be seen in the evening. The sun will shine during the day, and this is something you can't stop. And as much as you can't stop that, you can't stop my covenant with David and what I've said. Now, the Message Bible is really cool as well. It says, God's message to Jeremiah. Have you heard the saying that's making the rounds? The two families God chose, Israel and Judah, he disowned. And have you noticed that my people are treated with contempt? Actually, this is verse 23 to 26 in Jeremiah 33. Are treated with contempt. With rumors afoot that there's nothing to them anymore? Well, here's God's response. If my covenant with day and night wasn't in working order, if sky and earth weren't functioning the way I set them going, then, but only then, you might think I had disowned the descendants of Jacob and my servant David, and that I wouldn't set up any of David's descendants over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But as it is, I will give them back everything they've lost. The last word is, I will have mercy on them. Can you see God's strength there? That he even places the covenants with David and the covenants with the moon and the sun. He places those things in such high regard that he can just say, listen, go ahead. You want to say that I've disowned them? Then look at the sun and look at the moon. Has it changed? No. And if it hasn't changed and my direction for the moon and the sun has not changed, then my direction and my purpose for David and his descendants has not changed. This is the kind of strength that God gives us. For what purpose? It's like that dear lady we prayed for. She said, well, it's time to go back to work. Why'd she say that? Because it's done. It's finished. I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm healed. I'm going back to work. Well, I'm just going to see if I'm a little better. We'll see in the morning if anything's happened. It kind of sounds like Eeyore. You know, it's a beautiful sunny day. Well, it looks like it's going to rain. You say, who's Eeyore? Well, that's Winnie the Pooh and his friends, okay? You've got to have kids to appreciate that. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. People get so down in the mully grubs, they just literally walk around with such a sad face on. And God's over here shining bright as can be, because in his covenants, there is no possible way of failure. Folks, get a hold of some of these things. This is awesome. I like this. Isaiah 54, 9 through 10 in the King James Version. It says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. You know, the covenant of peace means nothing broken and nothing missing. Come on, you grab it a hold of this. God says it will not be moved. I will have love and I will have concern for you, and nothing shall change it. I mean, the mountains can be removed and the hills be removed, but my covenant shall not be removed. What does that give you the right to do? It gives you the right to step beyond your insecurities and your thoughts of failure. Well, brother, I've never had success like you've had. See, you may whine. Well, it's time for you to have it, because when are you going to have it? Until the day you step up and you believe that it's time for you to have it. And you can't believe like that until you've got something so rock solid in God, your Savior, and in His covenants that you can step beyond yourself and declare yourself a winner before you even see it. Now, I know this is getting strong, but folks, this is exactly how Healing School back in 1995, the first 3 months was just like Healing School for the past 6 years. No one seemed to get healed. They were all dying left and right. We were saying nice things to them, preaching great messages to them, teaching wonderful truths to them, patting them on the shoulder and saying, keep the switch of faith turned on, and they'd go home and die. Yes, you'd have an occasional here and there testimony coming back. But as far as it went back in that day, even one of the ushers that had been there for 6 years previous to when I got there said, in the last 6 years, I can count on one hand how many times people have been instantly healed and sent home well. The rest of the time, they just went home believing something. Well, in one sense, that's not bad, but think of it for a moment. They're sending them back to the same hostile environment, negativity with relatives and friends and family that put them in the position they're in, hoping that what you've taught them will give them the backbone to be able to actually receive it. But you know what? The percentages are low. Well, when we started getting downloaded with this type of understanding from our Lord, right there in January 1995, we started preaching differently. Instead of saying things like, well, we're going to believe with you to be healed, we just began to declare, I'll tell you what, right now your body's going to change. Get ready for it. Here it comes. God and His power will touch you. We'd start preaching things like that, declaring things like that. And man, I'll tell you what, the healing started popping left and right, left and right, left and right. In fact, in that first week, that same head usher came to me and said, I've seen more happen in this 1 week alone than I have in the last 6 years put together. Now, I'm not putting anybody down for the last 6 years put together from that point, but I'm trying to tell you that there's some things about the covenant that give you the audacity to believe God in a measure that you won't do on your own. You know, God did this for what? For our benefit. All of this is for our benefit. Covenants affects man's faith and promotes the audacity or the willingness to take a bold risk. I wrote that down as to the question, why would God talk like this? Because He wants the audacity of your faith to put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back and literally find God. Boy, that's a foreign concept today. We just want to find more scriptures about God. What about putting yourself in a position to actually finding Him? Do you think that might change things? I mean, 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, it starts out by saying, and this is the confidence we have in Him. Isn't that amazing? Your confidence could be in Him, because today most people's confidence is in the Word of God. Now, wait a minute. You think I just desecrated the scriptures, and you're 1,000% wrong. So please listen. When I say that, I'm talking about incorrectly having a relationship with scriptures, but not knowing the person that wrote them. When you let the scriptures declare who it is that your faith is in, it'll work. But when more scriptures and more scriptures, and it's more on you to hear and hear and hear to try to get your faith, which is nothing but a works and law in process, it won't be long until you fizzle right out and you'll be frustrated and no results, because it's all on you. But when what you read of the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit brings you face to face with Jesus, I'll tell you what, those scriptures and being face to face with Him will bring you right into the tangibility of the results that your body needs or your life desires. There is a difference. And I'm telling you right now, listen to what I'm sharing with you. You say, well, it's a little bit different, Brother Jim. Well, it's the difference that'll save your life. Semantics will kill you. I've learned that to be true. One person can say almost the same thing in a manner with the semantics that'll kill you and rob you of faith, while the other person says something almost identical, but with a spirit of faith upon them because they know God, and it brings a person right into contact with the power. It's hard to bring people to somebody you don't know. Well, where is he, brother? Where is he? Oh, I don't know. I'm looking for him. Well, haven't you found him yet? Well, I know we're in the right place. I'm looking for him. Now you talk with someone else. Hey, where is he? Well, he's right there. He's been there all the time. That's him? Yes, it is. Would you like to meet him? Yes, I would. Well, there's the difference. One recognizes him. One has had a relationship with him. One has been there before, while the other one's just read about being there, studied about being there, prayed about being there, but they've never been there. And they'll spin and spin and spin and spin, and you'll never get anywhere. Well, this has really turned into a pretty interesting time. But the reason why I'm sharing things like this is because the covenant gives you such absoluteness to your relationship with God. When Jesus says, I'm willing to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Go over what? Go over a relationship with my Father that's just as real. Why is he saying that? It is a covenant. And the covenant is 1,000% sure that you can stand on it and find God. Just let go of everything else. Wow, praise the Lord. I'm going to read you a testimony here from a good friend of ours that we've become friends with over the last couple of years, my wife and I, the Millers. And Pastor Dave is just very sad, but went on to be with the Lord here in this last year. And his dear wife, Diane, writes in a wonderful testimony. We certainly loved him. What a wonderful man of God. And he was and is. And we just thank God he's with Jesus, because we'll see him soon, along with all of our loved ones as well. But Diane writes, very wonderful story here. Been listening to Adventures in Grace. And I love how she writes this. Says, I've been meaning to write to you about God's grace. You know that my husband, Dave, went home to be with the Lord in October, rather suddenly. We have been together for 45 years, so you can imagine it was a great shock and change. But since I started listening to Adventures in Grace, I have been doing much better. I can see how God is moving and working things for me. My daughter has a garage apartment over her tenant, apartment, and her tenant moved out in September. As she was fixing it up, she had a strange thought that she was fixing it up for me. After my husband died, I didn't want to live alone in my condo, so I put it up for sale at the end of October. In 3 days, it was sold. Wow. To make a long story short, I was able to move into my daughter's apartment right after Thanksgiving, so I was not alone for Christmas. I have to travel more to get to church where I am pastoring, but it is so worth it. I don't think I would be doing this well if I were not here with family. The other day, I was sitting on my deck wrapped in my coat, because even though it was spring, it's still a little cold here, but I wanted to sit outside and have a cup of coffee. A woodpecker suddenly landed on the deck and just sat there for a couple of minutes. I knew it was my Heavenly Father, because he knows how much I love that kind of stuff. Thanks so much for your encouragement. I keep encouraging my church to subscribe, and many have said they have. Hopefully, they will be sending you some of their testimonies. This is really, really good, folks. Can you not hear how God takes care of us? And even just the scene of the little birds and how they don't have to worry or fret. Isn't it interesting how someone moved out of the apartment in September? That was a perfect timing for the daughter to not only get it ready, to have it ready for her mother. Folks, I'm telling you, God just is so good at this stuff. If we'll just get out of the way and just be bold enough to believe in him, get involved, move on, you'll see God really will influence everything you do. Well, go to YouTube channel Adventures of Grace and subscribe, or Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. I definitely want to encourage you, just like Diane did, go to the email on jimhockaday.com. It's jhmi@jimhockaday.com. And write to us your grace stories so that we can share them with those that are listening. We'll see you next time.